Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it looks like Seth and Sean is back on the air at 10 o'clock on Sunday evening, I guess you can call it. Seth Kamen, Sean Palmer. Well, really, Sean Palmer, Seth Kamen today. It is 10 o'clock, the day before tax season. So the Islanders are playing in the playoff game. Seth is working. And, of course, Sean is talking. Because that's just the way it is. And if you hear this from now until the end of the show, you know that good things are happening. Now, I'm not sure if I should be playing that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is what comes out of Sean's bedroom after he gets laid.
Oh, wow.
To be back on the show.
Really? That's a low blow, my friend. That is a real, you know what? It could come out of your bedroom, too.
It could be, but when do I get laid?
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, for you, is it We Will Rock You? I mean, I think actually you're going to be playing that song at like 6 o'clock tomorrow night when your tax season is over.
Yeah, as I sit in here, sit in my office at 10 o'clock at night, at least the end is now in sight. For those of you, including my wife, who, if she is listening, who have put up with a brutal 6 weeks, unlike anything I've ever done before, I look forward to drinking with most of you very soon. So, but I've got another hour of work, which is why I'm only going to probably be on for about 15 minutes tonight.
Tequila is in sight, my friend. Tequila is in sight. So I will, you know what, I'm in the middle of the Islander game. It's 3-3 at the end of two periods. I will not spend this 15 quality minutes that we have with Mr. Kamen's on hockey, since he has not watched any of this. But I will talk to him about something that he is intimately aware of, and that is this week we saw the retirement of really one of the true legends of the NBA. And I think we should start with that. I know we've hinted upon it, we've talked about it throughout the season, but now it is the end. Kobe Bryant, the end of a legendary career. And to me, an extremely underrated career.
He's underrated in a way because he's been pretty much universally, until this last season, disliked. Whether it was from the charges in Denver, whether it was from his, kind of his arrogance that he's always had about him. Beloved, it seems like, by players, beloved by the league, but never taken to fans in the same way if you lived outside of Los Angeles. And I think a lot of it was because he came off as a selfish guy and an arrogant guy. And, I don't think that can be even better reflected than in his last game, where, yes, he scored 60 points and he took 50 shots. Now, again, it's his last game and, they're going to let him do what they're going to let him do. And I think he goes down as most likely the consensus second, at worst, third best shooting guard of all time. A top 10 to 15, we've done a quick and dirty overview of this, but a top 10 to 15 player, I think, in the history of the league. But really, at any point, did you feel that he was the best player in the league, Sean?
Well, the issue with him is that he played at a time where there was always somebody better than him for the majority of the time. And he, until he won that last championship, you could make the case that he was never the best player on his own team. I mean, you could make the case. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but you certainly could make it that Shaq was the better player throughout the championships. You might be able to make the case that Pau Gasol was a better player in the last championship. I would not, but you could. So I get what you're saying. But if you don't think he's the best player in the league at any one point, and you're making the case that he's a top 10 to 15 player, he's an accumulator?
I wouldn't quite go that far. He came into the league right, I think, in 96, at the beginning of the second tier of Jordan. Then you kind of had the Garnett, the lost years, the Shaquille Duncan, and Kobe's right there at that point. And then you have LeBron. And now it's, LeBron and Durant, now you have Curry, I guess, to a lesser degree. I mean, look, at no point am I saying he was not one of the five best players in the league. But how often, and this is a discussion for us to have at a later point in sports in general. It's certainly completely subjective. But, how many players have really been the best player in the league at a given point in any league?
Well, I think that's a very good question. I mean, you can go through all the sports and say, all right, Gretzky was the best player bar none for a while. And Lemieux was the best player bar none for a while. That's hockey. You go to basketball, can you say Stephen Curry right now is the best player in the league? I think you can make that claim. Okay, so you make that claim. I think LeBron for a couple of years, probably the best player in the league, bar none. I don't think that there was an argument. You look in baseball, baseball's a little bit harder, right, because you're not a pitcher, either a pitcher or a hitter. Obviously, Ruth was the best player in the league forever. Willie Mays is probably the best player in the league, if you ask anybody. And Ted Williams might have been, or DiMaggio.
Yeah, it's almost year by year. But I think that makes your point, right?
That makes your point. Yeah. If I'm saying either DiMaggio or Williams, well, then it was one or the other. It wasn't a clear number one.
Well, that's it. And it may be a discussion for a time where we kind of go through, and it may be easier, a little bit easier in the NFL. The problem I would have, and I think you'd probably agree, is that the actual year-to-year becomes difficult. So, that aside, he goes down as an all-time great. And that's all that really matters. He went out, for all intents and purposes, on his terms. The Lakers kind of get to finally regroup again, and because they've been an absolute disaster the last two or three years. And we'll see, after the playoffs and free agent comes about, and we'll see how the draft goes. They should be a top five pick, and the Lakers will be back soon. But for now, it's just, you kind of sit back, you tip your cap, and he's a guy, I don't think, he's a guy that's never going to go down as the most loved player in the league, but he certainly will go down as one of the toughest.
Agreed. And I think he is universally admired for his determination and for where he has come from an 18-year-old player to where he is today. Because his first year, I think he averaged 6 minutes a game. I mean, not to say that he wasn't going to be Kobe Bryant anyway, but I believe he averaged only 6 minutes a game his first year. And that is, from where he came to where he is now, that is quite impressive. I mean, I'm going to look that up right now. I believe it was 6 minutes a game. Anyway, now how about the swag that was given out? So he played in 71 games. He had 1,100 minutes. So it's a little bit more. It's like 11 minutes, 12 minutes a game. So the most expensive seat was $27,000 at center court. And if you sat in that seat, you got a helicopter Kobe six T-shirts, six special edition T-shirts. By the way, the helicopter Kobe is now on eBay for $45. I did actually look that up. And and you got Kobe's book. If you're anywhere else in the stadium, you got a T-shirt and you got the book. And I'm sure that there was other swag that was being handed out. But it seemed like the game was secondary, and which I guess it was because the game didn't matter. I would have liked to have seen the game matter and see what would have happened, and if the game would have been secondary. I would hope it wouldn't. But Kobe may be the first player in NBA history to have two jerseys retired by the same team. 8 and 24.
Did the Bulls retire Jordan 45?
No.
Then that's probably true.
Yeah.
You know, I do find it a little bit weird. This is a guy who, you know, always said he didn't really care what a lot of people thought, but he did the Jeter tour. You know, he went to every place and got his, you know, A, B, and C, and got his swag, I guess, for lack of a better term. It's funny. It's hard to remember the league before him at this point. He's been in it for so long. You know, went from, I guess, the shooting guard, the shooting guard went from, you know, going from Jordan to Bryant goes back to when we were, 6 years old, 7 years old. So it's very difficult for people under 30. It's very difficult to remember an NBA without Kobe Bryant.
Yeah. And remember, Kobe was trading for Vlade Divac. That was the trade.
I'm sure Charlotte is still regretting that. Just as the Nets are regretting somehow talking them out of taking him, the Nets taking Harry Kittles instead.
Well, I mean, the thing is, he never was going to play for Charlotte anyway. So the question is, would he have ever played for the Nets had they drafted him, him being from Philadelphia? I don't know the answer to that. Does Cleveland regret not trading LeBron for him? I doubt it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they don't.
Do the Clippers regret not putting forth even more of an effort to get him when he was a free agent? I think they probably do. But you know what? That's just the way the world works. I mean, look, the trades have been rescinded. Trades have been made, and regrets are made every day with trades that were not made or trades that were.
Yeah. Well, and that's really it. You know, that's what it'll be interesting to see what Kobe does if he stays in the basketball world, or if he decides, you know, or just to kind of venture out on his own. But I'm sure we will hear from him from time to time.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately.
Before you go, I know you got to go, but before you go, the NBA playoffs have started, but before they get full into swing, I'd like some predictions here. I know you have to go, and I'm asking for five more minutes. So let's go through. I'll give you five more.
I don't think I'm coming up with anything too surprising here.
Okay. So Portland and the Clippers.
I'm going with the top four in all four of the West.
Okay, so you're going with Golden State, the Clippers, OKC, and the Spurs.
Yeah,
I will agree on all of those as well. Okay, so let's go over to the East. Cleveland and Detroit.
Cleveland.
Who had a very hard time today with Detroit, mind you. I think it was a little bit surprising to me, but Kevin Love played a great game. He had about 16 rebounds. The Hawks and the Celtics. Hawks winning by one last night in a game where the Celtics came back, I believe, from 19. The Hawks came back from 19. So 4-5, Hawks or Celts?
Toss up. I think the Hawks, just because between Millsap, Horford, and Teague, they just have, as good as Boston is, Hawks just have more talent.
Well, Boston will be without Avery Bradley for the rest of the series, so that is
a big loss for them.
That is a very big loss for them, but they have something to look forward to, as they have the Nets' first-round pick, and they were third worst in the NBA, so they have the third best shot at getting the number one pick. And I think it's like a 50% chance of getting one or two, which is ridiculous. The Heat or the Hornets, the Heat blowing them out today by, I think, 30.
The Heat or you got to go with the Heat.
Yeah, I agree, especially since they blew them out today. I'm going to get that final score in a second. Final score was 123-91, so 32 points. And Toronto and the Pacers, will Toronto get out of the first round? I think that's the question at this point, because they haven't been able to do it the last 2 years, and now they're a two seed, and, of course, they lose to the Pacers in game one.
It's funny. I kind of like the Pacers, but I do think Toronto is due. They won 54-55 games. This team is going to be broken up if they don't at least make it a round. I think Toronto does win. I think it's a pretty tight. I think that Toronto wins in six.
Okay, I'm going to take the Pacers in that one. So let's go to the second round. So you have Golden State versus the Clippers, which I think is a very entertaining series, but I'm still taking Golden State to win it.
I am too.
And then Oklahoma City versus the Spurs, and what might be look, these two second round series are amazing, actually. I'm going to take the Spurs. No, actually, I'm going to take OKC, considering I picked them to win the whole thing in the preseason. So I'm going to take Oklahoma City.
I kind of agree with you. As good as San Antonio is, I think it's just going to be a phenomenal series.
Yeah. Okay, so now we have Golden State versus OKC. I'm going to take OKC for the win.
I am going to take Golden State. I actually think they match up pretty well with Oklahoma. I mean, they match up very well with everybody. They won 73 games.
They won 73 games, my friend.
Yeah. So I think I find it hard not to take Golden State.
Okay. Let's go over to the other side. And that would be Cleveland versus the Hawks, and I will take Cleveland.
Agreed.
And the Heat versus you have the Heat and the Raptors. I have the Heat and the Pacers. I'm going to take the Heat.
I'm going to as well.
And that's without Chris Bosh, who is out for probably the rest of the season. Okay, so we have Cleveland versus the Hawks. We did that. So Cleveland versus Miami in the battle for LeBron's soul. I will take Cleveland.
As what?
And I actually think that will be a much tougher series than most might think. I think Hassan Whiteside will have a great series against Kevin Love. I think he'll actually destroy them in the middle. I just think the outside.
I think Miami's won 3 out of 4 against Cleveland. It's certainly not a team that's going to be intimidated by Cleveland.
Yeah, I agree. And then I have Kansas. I have OKC versus Golden State, and I'm going to take OKC.
Yeah, that's what you had said. I'm going to go with Golden State, as I said. Yeah, Draymond on Durant, no one can really control Westbrook, but Golden State is coming from too many places.
I could see that. Okay, and you have Golden State versus the Cavs. I have OKC versus the Cavs. I will take OKC for the win. I'm going all the way with OKC. A three seed.
And I'm going to run with the team that went 73-9. I think if Cleveland is healthy, I think it becomes a very fun series to watch. But I just think this is Golden State's year. And they ended with the greatest year of all time. And when we do our year in review, they're still the second most interesting story that's happened in the first 4 months of the sports year.
To give that a little perspective, the Warriors finished with an .890 winning percentage. The highest Major League Baseball winning percentage belongs to the 1906 Cubs, who went 116-36, and that was 78%. Just to give it a little bit of an idea. Okay, Seth, I know you got to go, but I appreciate your coming on for 20 minutes and saving my voice a little bit.
Pleasure, too. Next week, back to normal. Can't wait. Talk
back
to you
then. All right, talk to you guys later. All right, see ya. Okay, so where I was starting this whole thing was that the Islanders are playing right now. It's 13 minutes left, 3-3, Florida versus the Islanders, first playoff game in Barclays. And for those that have followed the show, you know that I am always looking forward to something like this. If the Islanders score a goal in the next 22 minutes while we are on the air, you will be hearing that. The Islanders were down 2-0, then supposedly 3-0, and then modern instant replay took over, and the third goal by the Panthers was disallowed due to an offside penalty. And so the Islanders have come back, and they have now tied it at 3-3. With Panthers just were on a power play. So 12:24 left in the third, and it's 3-3 Isles and Panthers. To give a little rundown of where we are in the NHL playoffs, I know we just did it in the NBA playoffs. Get you in a second, the NHL playoffs. This is the only game that's on right now in the schedule. The NHL has an interesting scheduling because they are definitely the third team in scheduling when it comes to all the games. And the Islanders seem to have a couple of days off here and a couple of days off there. And that's the same for most of these teams. The Rangers last night won 4-2 over Pittsburgh. That series, is tied at 1-1. Washington beat Philadelphia 4-1. The Capitals now lead that series 2-0. Dallas beat Minnesota, which is interesting as Dallas is the former Minnesota North Stars. Now it's the Dallas Stars over the Minnesota Wild, Stars leading 2-0. And the Sharks once again lead the Kings 2-0 after beating them 2-1. But the Kings are kind of used to that because they always are that way. Today's results, St. Louis beat Chicago. St. Louis is up 2-1. Detroit beat Tampa Bay, and the Lightning lead 2-1. Later tonight at 10:30 Eastern, so starting in about 6 minutes, the Predators lead the series 1-0, and Nashville is at Anaheim. If you'd like to call in, 760-283-0846, 760-283-0846. I think we're going to only go 5 more minutes today. I'm losing my voice, and that's never a good thing. It's probably because I was rooting for the Islanders so much. But I do wish to thank Seth for coming on for 20 minutes and saving the aforementioned voice. Baseball is underway, as we know, and the Mets are not doing all that well. They're just not. Jacob DeGrom had to go back to his wife, who had a baby the other day, and the baby is not doing too well, so he had to take a leave of absence for paternity leave. The Mets are just not getting any scoring. However, they did score 6 today. The Yankees a whole other story, dropping A-Rod to sixth in the lineup today after being, I think, 0-for-30 in the last 30 at-bats. Needless to say, not doing too well for the New York teams. I think we're going to end it right here. I know that it's a little bit less than I promised, but I'm really not feeling well tonight. So tomorrow I'm going to be going to Philadelphia to Citizens Bank Ballpark to see the Mets play. So hopefully I'll feel a little bit better by then. And I'll give you guys a recap next week. For Seth Kamens, this has been Sean Palmer, a little bit of an abbreviated Seth and Sean Sports Radio Show. And we'll check you out next week. Have a good night.